Well, good morning and welcome to Grace United Church in Peterborough. I'm glad that you're tuning in, and once again, we have this opportunity to worship God and to experience the unity and the oneness of worship, even though we're in different places at different times. This morning, I have the opportunity to share with you some thoughts about the source of comfort for living. And I'll have a lot more to say about that as we move through the service. But just to get your thoughts percolating this morning, I want you to think about the comforts of your life and where you go when you are in need of comfort. Sharing the service with me this morning is Glenda Jopling, and she is going to come and light the Christ candle this morning. We light this candle each week just to remind ourselves that in the journey of life, we're not alone. And as this candle shines in our sanctuary this morning, all the way through the service, we are mindful that even though we're in different places and perhaps watching this at different times, that we are united, one in Christ. So I invite you to join with Glenda and I in the call to worship as you see on the screen. Glenda is going to be reading the parts that are marked with the L, and you and I, as members of the congregation, will respond with the parts that are marked with the P.
Today is Mother's Day, and we celebrate the Christian family.
We thank God for our mothers.
We thank God for all the members of our family.
We pray for our parents, our brothers and sisters, our children and grandchildren, wherever they may be.
We are also brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to join with us in this opening prayer. Let us pray. Wondrous, nurturing God, as we gather for worship, we are mindful of our mothers, for the love and care they have given to us throughout our lives. We praise and thank you for, like a mother, you know us intimately and love us unconditionally. Your guiding hand directs our path, and you teach and encourage us to walk in the footsteps of Christ. Remind us that in times of uncertainty and need, you comfort us and that you are the source and sustainer of life itself. May we feel your gentle presence surrounding us as we open ourselves to worship you with our hearts, minds, and spirit. Draw near to us, we ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, I invite you to join with our first hymn this morning. It's a neat piece from the Christian faith. It's number 626, if you have a hymn book at home there, and it's entitled, I Heard the Voice of Jesus.
Thank you.
detail this morning, I want to speak with the kids of the congregation, both young and old, about this person over here. And of course, it doesn't take long for us to figure out that this person right here is our moms. And today is Mother's Day, and my hope is that you did something really nice for your mom. Maybe you got up early and you made her favorite breakfast and you gave her breakfast in bed. Maybe you just cleaned up the house and cleaned up your room. But today is a day when we think about our moms and think about all the things that they do for us. Many of the things that we don't even realize that they are doing. I found some interesting little comments about kids who have written about their moms and what they think and what they feel around their moms, and so I thought I'd share some of the funnier comments with you this morning. This one here is from someone called Chris, and the person said, "Thank you," or said, "Dear Mom, thank you for taking good care of me. I hope you do better things for me." So, very appreciative of what Mom has done, just looking forward to better things in the future. This one said, "Thank you, Mom, for being wonderful, caring, and not making your meatloaf anymore." So, I guess this young person didn't care too much about their mother's meatloaf. And then the last one, it says, "My mom likes to drink wine." So moms out there, all I want you to know is that the kids are watching. And so those are some of the fun kind of things that I saw. And so I do hope that you express some love and appreciation to your mom in a special way this morning, and that you will just help her to know that all that they do to take you to sports events, not so much at this moment, but to look after you and care for you and your house, that you appreciate and you love her. So make sure you give her a big hug and a kiss today, even some of you teenagers. I have a little video here that I want to show you this morning, and it has the Mother's Day theme.
"Dear Mommy, you're the greatest. You're so pretty and smart, and you cook really good too. I love it when you cuddle with me, read me stories, and kiss me goodnight. I like that a lot. Jesus gave me the best mommy in the world. I love you so much.
And I didn't realize how much I'd miss you. Thanks for the money. You'd be proud. I got a great deal on a new outfit. I can shop like you, but I definitely can't cook like you. Anyway, I really miss you, Mom. I know raising me hasn't always been easy, and I don't always say it, but I'm so thankful for you,
Mom. I don't know how I'd make it through without you. Just having you to call and listen when I need to vent helps me more than you know. Was life this complicated when I was growing up? I know you had your own struggles, but you always seemed to have a handle on things. That's why I need your grounding, and I thank God for you, Mom. You've shown me so much. I'm in awe of you.
Not a day goes by that I am not grateful for you and for all that you've taught me. Do you realize what a wonderful legacy you have? I see so much of you in the kids and in their kids. And now a whole new generation is being built on the foundation of your incredible love.
I love you so much.
So I want to take you to the COVID-19 wall, and I really thank you for all the people that have been participating, and it's really growing. So I'm going to take you over, and we're going to talk about the wall right now. So the wall, as you can see here, is growing, and it's looking wonderful, and it's a real positive expression of our congregation's concern and support for people who are going through a difficult time because of the COVID-19 virus, and also for the healthcare workers and the people that are helping. And so the wall is growing, and if you look way up on top, we have a quilt here that Carol made, and it looks like a quilt of the Northern Lights. And of course, they're spectacular and wonderful. And we have more prayers that have been written. One person by the name of Nell wrote this about the gift of COVID. And she opens her poem this way and says, "In order to be united, we've been created to connect. But in order for survival, we learn in life to disconnect." And then she talks about different aspects, but at the very bottom verse, she says, "Thank you, COVID, for healing time, for our minds, spirit, and the earth, slowing down the world's hamster wheel, enabling us to see life's true worth." And so I thank Nell for that little poem. And Carol, another Carol, wrote a little piece on COVID-19. And one of the comments she made is that Psalm 19 is my favorite in understanding God's revelation in creation, laws, response of men and women, and the proof that God exists. And then the last one is from Marilyn and Jim, and they did a prayer wall acoustic. And they said things like, "Remember and thank God for many blessings. With God, all things are possible. And love your neighbor as yourself." And so we got some pictures as well that I want to show you. And we have a picture here that came from the Cahorns. And this is a picture, you can't maybe see it too well, but it's a picture of their outdoor worship center. And this is out on their deck, and so that's a neat piece. And Jacob also sent some pictures that he had put together, and then another picture that he has drawn. And so keep all these coming, and it helps us to celebrate and to be mindful of all that God is doing as we work together and support one another to move through this pandemic. And hopefully, one time and soon, not hopefully within the next couple months, we'll have resumed some of the normal activities. So keep these coming. If you haven't written to me or you haven't drawn a picture, I really want to encourage you to do that, because I really want to fill the whole wall, and it'll just be a great tribute to the way Grace Church cares for the people of our community and our world. Well, now we're going to have an opportunity to do some more singing, and this time with the Grace Band. And this is a song that's called A Quiet Prayer. And so if you're a Worship One person, you will know this song very well. And if you're not, listen to the song. And it's just a very mindful song that speaks about our prayer life with God. So I invite you to join along with the band in A Quiet Prayer.
Remind me of your presence, King.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that song. It was actually written by Tony and myself. So we have the opportunity to listen to the scriptures once again. And Glenda is going to come, and she's going to read the first two. The very first one comes from the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, verses 55 to 60. This takes place a little further after Jesus ascends, and the disciples start to go out and begin to preach and to talk about the good news. This is a story about Stephen, and this is the stoning of Stephen. He was the very first martyr of the Christian church. And he went out and spoke the good news, but he really ticked off the scribes and the Pharisees because he was talking about a new way. And so Glenda's going to read that one soon. And then the second passage comes from the book of Psalms, number 31, verses 1 to 5, and then 15 to 16. And this is a passage where David is looking to God for strength and comfort. And he calls God his rock. And so Glenda's going to read those two passages, and then I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter.
Reading from Acts 55 to 60. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily upward into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." Then they put their hands over their ears, and drowning out his voice with their shouts, they rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. The official witnesses took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he fell to his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. And from Psalm 31, verses 1 to 5 and 15, 16. O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be put to shame. Rescue me, for you always do what is right. Bend down and listen to me. Rescue me quickly. Be for me a great rock of safety, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. You are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this peril. Pull from me the trap my enemies set for me. For I find protection in you alone. I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. My future is in your hands. Rescue me from those who hunt me down relentlessly. Let your favor shine on your servant. In your unfailing love, save me.
And I'm going to share with you a passage from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. It's one of my favorite biblical stories. It takes place where Jesus is spending some time in the upper room with his disciples at a very challenging time. For 3 years, the disciples had walked with Jesus and they had learned with Christ. But at the end of that time, he said to them they were going to go to Jerusalem. And this last time that he goes into Jerusalem, he would be handed over to the authorities and betrayed and put to death. And as Jesus is speaking these words, he is responding to the anxiety of the disciples. They're wondering, is this the time that Jesus is going to be betrayed? How's that going to happen? And so they're very, very anxious. And so Jesus, even though he knows he's within hours of his betrayal and his death, very much soon after that, he takes time to comfort and console the disciples. And he uses these words. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way that I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Here ends the reading from the scriptures for this day. And as we listen to each of those stories, may we understand their meaning for our life now. May they remind us and strengthen us in our faith. And may God's name be praised forever and ever. Amen. Well, this morning we have an opportunity to listen to a great duet. It's by Paul Gray and Paul Tessier. And Paul Gray is a flautist, and he is going to be playing the flute. And Paul Tessier, he's going to be playing the piano. And the song that they are playing together is Minuet and Dance of the Blessed Spirits. We have such great talent at Grace, and I appreciate Paul and Paul, that's the Paul and Paul show, for blessing our worship this morning. Well, I'd like to invite Glenda to come forward, and she's going to lead in the pastoral prayer.
Let us pray. Wonderful Trinity, as we each find our way through our own inner fears and anxiety, we know deep down that we are not alone in our struggles or in our hopes. In the last months, we have been hesitant to step out the door. We wonder if today we will find out that our job is gone or that we'll get a phone call that someone is gravely ill. Many of us are nervous and fearful, surrounded by this unseen virus, not sure if we will ever feel safe to be with others. Replace our doubts with certainty through your love and healing mercy. Bring us grace through virtual contact with friends and family, through living closely with our households, through connection to simpler living. We pray for people who are grieving loss with little support available in their loneliness. We pray that they may know that you are there to support and will bring comfort. Let them trust in your promise of new life. We pray for those who are ill and suffering. Help them to have confidence in their caregivers. Give them courage, hope, and peace, and the knowledge that you are present in their weakness, pain, and suffering. We pray for people who are so very vulnerable right now, for caregivers, personal care workers, nurses, and doctors, for people struggling in constant care and special care residences, for families separated from them and feeling helpless to share in their care, for the homeless and those trying to help with them with shelter, separation, food, health, support, for individuals and families who find themselves suspended from their work, and for those who continue to work providing essential services. And we pray, God, for a world with less finger-pointing and threats between nations, that leaders govern with concern and carefully lead us through this pandemic. You are the source of all goodness, generosity, and love. Help us now to reach out as best we can so that the desperate may find new hope and lives torn apart be restored. Accept our prayers for those whose lives are affected by flooding and natural disasters. Strengthen them, grant them perseverance and courage to face the future. We pray that they find in you the foundation on which to rebuild their communities. This Mother's Day, we honor mothers and those who have been like a mother to us. As we give thanks for their guidance, help us hold each other in loving accountability. For the confidence they built in us, help us to confirm gifts in others. As we remember the hardships they've faced, help us to carry each other's burdens. We pray for those whose experience and memory of mothers brings enduring pain, remorse, and guilt. Remind us of the wrongs we have done to each other and the power we have in your name to bridge even the deepest divide. We pray today for reconciliation and forgiveness. And where Mother's Day is a painful reminder of loss or loneliness, we pray that they look to you for reassurance and comfort. Give them your embrace. We give thanks this day for this fragile planet Earth. Thank you for the gifts of this day and every day, for the gradual change into spring, which gives us hope for better days ahead, and the restorative power nature has to cleanse us and set us on a new, fresh path. We pray that your presence in our lives breaks through the disillusionment and despair clouding our vision, that we may find our way and journey on as members, messengers of your love. We give you thanks, O God, and we praise your name as we join together in the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, I invite you to join in our next hymn. It's 652, if you have a hymn book, and it's the hymn called Be Still My Soul, and of course, it's on the screen.
Be still my soul, for God is on your side. There I shall leave the cross of grief or pain. Trust me, your Lord, your Savior and your God.
Well, today we're going to look at the topic of a source of comfort for living. Comfort is an interesting concept, and when I speak about comfort, I'm not necessarily talking about where everything is great and you just sort of sit back in your chair and everybody serves you and you don't have to do anything. I'm speaking about a comfort that comes to us that strengthens us through all the experiences of our living. The question I want to ask is, to whom do you turn when you are looking for comfort in your life? Well, today is Mother's Day, and so many of us are thinking about our mothers, and of course, Mom is one of the ones we often turn to comfort, especially when we were young. I grew up in a family of five kids, and so whenever my sister and brothers were picking on me, I would always yell, Mom! And Mom would come, and hopefully, if she did what I wanted, would chew out my brothers and my sister. Sometimes that didn't work out so well for me. But Moms bring lots of comfort to our life in our childhood. They look after us, they cook for us, they take us to different places, and they provide great comfort. Even as we get older and we become adults, it's often nice just to be with Mom and to sit and chat and listen and talk about life and glean some of the insights and the wisdom that she offers. And then even later on in life, when some of the roles are reversed and we have to provide greater care for our moms, even in those minutes, we have this sense that mom has provided care, and some of the care we are giving back to mom is because of the many hours of care she gave to us earlier. Well, I want to talk about this source of comfort for living. Where do we find that source? And what are the different sources of comfort for us in life? It comes from this great passage from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, the first 14 verses. And this is a passage that is a great source of comfort to the disciples. And the comfort really comes in the three first verses. Jesus is speaking to the disciples in the upper room, and he knows that they're anxious, and so he speaks to them with the whole intention of comforting them and calming them and providing some of the strength that is necessary for them, for he knows the next days and years are going to be a challenge. And so he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And so I want to talk about the different places where comfort comes from. First thing I want to say is that everybody needs comfort in the journey of life. There's not one person that does not have times in their life when they need someone to comfort and strengthen them and just help them through the different times that we encounter in the journey of our life. In the good times, when things are going well, sometimes the comfort that comes is really to help us make wise choices and decisions when life is going well. Often the times we make mistakes the most is when life is easy. And in those times, we need the comfort of our family and friends to steady us and to remind us we're not alone. Of course, we need comfort in times of crisis. And these last 7 or 8 weeks, as we've been going through this COVID-19 virus and all the limitations and the restrictions, in those weeks, we have needed comfort from one another. And it just shows you that we do need comfort in times of crisis. And so there are a couple places where comfort comes from. First of all, comfort often comes from family. It's great to be part of a family and have parents and brothers and sisters who are there and have watched us grow. And in times in the journey of life, we look to them to comfort us, to strengthen us. If we're going through a rough time or we're confused and uncertain about something, it's wonderful to have family to go to and bounce some things off of and get their guidance and their perspectives in our lives. Unfortunately, though, there are times when sometimes our families let us down. Those moments when they can't respond for whatever reason. And so families are a great source of comfort. A second place is from friends. It's great to have friends that we have known for a long time, and I've always marveled at people who have known friends since their childhood. And they've had those people that they grow up with and know them well. And here again, friends help us at different parts of the journey. But even with good friends, sometimes they can't help us either. Just simply because life has changed for them and they have issues that they're dealing with. And so they're not able to support us the way we would like to encounter that support and comfort. And so the question is, where can we find comfort in unique times when families can't help us and when friends are not able to help us? Where do we turn? Where can we find comfort in those experiences and moments of our living? Well, comfort at those moments and those times in our life comes from a spiritual source, from the spiritual part of life, from our life of faith. Many people have a spiritual awareness that they know that there's something that's deeper than the physical life in which we live. And if you talk to people, they may not be able to articulate, or they may not say that they believe in God specifically. Maybe they'll talk about believing in the energy of life or the force of nature. But most people have an awareness that there's a spiritual part of life. And that in that spiritual awareness, we realize that we're all connected. I received a little letter from someone in the congregation that sent me a piece by Bill Gates. And Bill Gates, who you know, is a multi-billionaire. And he was writing about the COVID-19, and even he acknowledged that there's a deeper part to this virus, that there's this spiritual part in life. And so when things are challenging, when we're caught alone, when we cannot find family and friends to support us, one of the greatest places to find comfort for living comes from the Scriptures. That's why the biblical stories are so important, because they teach us and they help us understand some of the deeper aspects of our living. And my hope is that our congregation at Grace here, and that you as members who are watching, will start delving into the Scriptures and learning the source of strength they bring us, particularly when we're looking for comfort. The Scriptures reveal Christ to us. When you look at the Scriptures and you want to know who Jesus is, you begin to read the Gospels, because in the Gospels, they reveal the person of Jesus. There are other writings outside of the Gospels, but they are the ones that are the clearest indication of who Jesus is and the kind of things that he did and how he treated people very differently than the scribes and the Pharisees at the time. And he calls us to this deeper kind of living. And so the Scriptures reveal Jesus to us, and that enables us to understand who he is more and follow in his footsteps. The Scriptures also reveals God's care and shows us the many times where God cares for us, sometimes even when you're not aware of that care. Earlier this week, I was going through a challenging evening, and I was wrestling and struggling with lots of issues, and I was feeling really low and uncertain about things. And I just went to my phone, and I Googled, you know, God's care in the Scriptures. And there were lots and lots of different passages. And the Scriptures nurture us, and they help us, and they heal us, and they are a resource of comfort in uncertain times or when you're feeling low. A couple of passages are Psalm 23, which most of us know. In the fourth verse it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And then Isaiah, in the 66th chapter, is speaking on God's behalf. And he says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I," or God, "comfort you." Paul, as he's writing to the church of Corinth in his second letter, he says, "Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God." So Paul here is talking about the God of comfort who comforts us. And then once we have encountered that comfort from God, then we have this opportunity to share that with others who are in need of comfort. And then the last one is from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 7. Peter says, "Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." So one of the greatest places that we can find comfort is from the biblical stories. And then the last thing that Scripture reveals is God's incredible love for you and I. God's love is not just for certain people
or just some people. God's love is for all people. Even the people that do not love God, God loves them. And the whole biblical story is really a love story. That's what the Bible is, a love story about a God who will not let us go, a God that holds us and comforts us and cares for us in every moment of our living. Well, the last comment I want to make is that God comforts us in the journey of life, but also God provides comfort in the future that we're unaware of. And so God's comfort is, in fact, long-term. Happens now, but it also happens in the future and all the days of our future. Jesus, in the second verse of that 14th chapter of John's Gospel, said, in the Father's house are many rooms. And Jesus was trying to help the disciples understand that their future was secure. They didn't have to be fearful, that they could actually move out in courage and witness to the good news of Christ because they were safe in the future, that God was going to provide a place for them, and in that place they would be together forever. Now, when Jesus said that there were rooms in the Father's house, he was not suggesting that there's going to be a place with four walls, a ceiling, and a floor. One of the mistakes many people make when they're reading the scriptures is they take a physical concept and think it's spiritual. There are no walls in heaven. But Jesus was trying to help them understand that there is this place for them, a place that has been prepared specifically for them. And when the time came for them to no longer live in this world, that Jesus was going to take them to that place, and in that place they would be forever. And that's a wonderful source of encouragement and strength for all of us, that there's a place for you and a place for me in God's kingdom. When the time comes for us to no longer live in this world, there is a place for us. Sometimes our home is that place that just gives us comfort. And I remember many times when I've had stress and strain, just walking through the front door of the house just kind of relaxed me and calmed me because I knew I was home and there would be calm and peace in that place. And that's what Jesus was trying to point out when he said, there's a room, there's a place for you and for me. Another way that God comforts us in the long term is that God is the one who comes. Often people have this concept or idea of God, that God's out there somewhere and we got to go find God. We got to go up there or down there. Even Job in his sickness, one of the great passages, he said that I looked to the east, the west, the north, and the south, and that he realized that God was already present with him. And God is the one who comes to us to comfort and strengthen us in this life and in the next. In the third verse, Jesus said, after he talked about the rooms and the Father's house, he said, if it was not so, would I have told you that I go up a place for you? And when I prepare a place for you, I will come to you. And so that we will be in that place together. See, God is always a God that comes to you. And we see that all the way through the scriptures, particularly in the stories of Christmas, where Jesus comes in the form of a baby. And we talk about how God came in the flesh, and God came to the people of our world so that we would know God better. And it's that presence that strengthens us. Well, the story I want to share with you is a story about a young 8-year-old, and she was out playing and she fell and she got injured and it got a cut in her by her eye. And dad took her to the hospital and to the doctor, and the doctor looked at it and said, well, you know, it's in a very sensitive area, very close to the eye, but all we need is a couple stitches. But the doctor said to the father that, you know, I'm really hesitant to put any anesthetic in it because of where it's located. And so he said to the little girl, I need to put some stitches and heal up your wound. And he said, it's going to hurt for a few minutes, but then it'll be okay. And he asked the little girl, will you be able to do that? And she says, as long as my dad is there, I'll be okay. And so the father came and sat beside his daughter, put his hand around her, held her hand, and she didn't flinch when the doctor stitched her eye because she knew that her dad was there. And that's the kind of God we have. In times of stress and strain and difficulties and pain, God comes to comfort. And God's presence strengthens us and encourages us and reminds us we don't have to fear, we don't have to worry, because God is right there beside us. And we encounter God's presence through the living presence of Christ. And so this morning, I want you to think about the comfort that is necessary in your life at these times. And to look to the spiritual source of life in your faith and our connection with God. To be aware of the scriptures and read those scriptures that provide comfort and strength for us in uncertain times. And to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is near, and that God is the one who comes and comforts. Let us join together in prayer. Wondrous God, we thank you for the gift of another week. I thank you for this story from John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, and the way Jesus comforted the disciples even when he was filled with anxiety. And he comforts them by his presence. He comforts them by his words. May we too realize that the scriptures are your words and they comfort us. And when things are not going well, may we read the stories. May we go to the verses that remind us we're not alone, that you are God who comes to us. And in your coming, you give us comfort and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the announcements are pretty much the same as last week. Just keep those COVID-19 letters and pictures coming. If you've already said one prayer or one poem, send me another one. Tell me about the difference between the first letter or the first prayer that you wrote and how you're feeling now as things are beginning to shift and change. If you don't like to write letters, draw me a picture. Even if you're an adult, if you've got an adult coloring book, find a picture that speaks about hope, about the future, something positive, color it in, and then send it off to me here at Grace, and we're going to put it on the wall and just help that wall to grow. Be aware of the financial needs of Grace, as always, and help us to keep our congregation as strong as possible. Well, we're going to end this service with a great song called He Leadeth Me. It's 657 in the hymn book, but it's here on the screen. And it just talks about how God is the one who leads us.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being part of our service this morning. And I hope that as you have spent this time in worshiping and listening to songs and in prayer, that your faith will be strengthened, that your spirit will be lifted, and that you know that you do not walk alone, but the comfort of the God who comes is leading you. And so I pray that the God of love and faith and comfort will come to you to strengthen and encourage you, and the Spirit will surround you and keep you this day and forevermore. Amen. Join us in the choral blessing as you'll find it on the screen.